760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta area. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Amen.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. I need one more. Can I get one? Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother.
Thank you. There we go. That's what it's all about, helping you find joy in the journey anchored in God's goodness. Speaking of God's goodness, Allison, I believe you have a prayer to tee us off this morning.
I sure do. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, your word teaches us that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Through the powerful intercession of Saint Ledwina, who bore her sufferings with patience and a deep trust in your divine will, grant me the grace to endure my trials with the same faith and courage. Help me unite my pain to the sufferings of Christ, trusting that through your grace, all things work for the good of those who love you. Pour forth your Holy Spirit into my heart, that I may always remain steadfast in hope and never be separated from your love. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about what's important. And you know what's really important to me? Faith.
Yes.
We all need a little bit of faith in our lives, don't we? Which is why, actually, this morning I was praying, and I've been trying to really anchor more recently in the importance of memorizing scripture.
Good.
Yeah. We, you know, Catholics, we don't always pass the smell test with that, do we?
No.
Interesting way of saying that, Josh.
Yeah. So this one I was looking at this morning from, let's see, Luke 17:6. The Lord answered, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, pull yourself up by the roots, plant yourself in the sea, and it would obey you.
Mm.
And I need that faith, man, because I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And I had a moment like that this weekend, actually. A dear friend of mine, who's also my RCIA sponsor, in his 80s, he fell and he broke his hip and had to have a hip replacement. It was,
Wow. Yeah,
it's really, really tough. And so he's in a rehab, and I just know I need to be bringing this guy daily communion. And just with my schedule and some other things, I don't know if it's going to work out. And so I'm in adoration. I'm praying. I'm asking God, you got to show the way. You got to make this happen, because I believe this is something you want. And within, gosh, maybe 24 or even 12 hours, everything worked out.
Yeah.
And it was such a gift, you know, to just see God made a way when I believe I align my will with his. So, you know, I'm putting that kind of faith to test. You know, I was in the gas station the other day. I bought a lottery ticket. I was like, make this a mustard seed moment, Lord.
Oh, Josh.
Instead, you got a mustard stain on your shirt.
There you go. Exactly.
No, you know what, Josh? I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, no, yesterday was a pretty challenging day. Just had a lot of trials and tribulations pop up. So, no, it's beautiful. It's beautiful how the Lord chose that scripture verse for you to talk about. Because we really have to have that childlike faith and submission to him. No matter what's going on, he makes good come out of everything. So thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for guiding Josh to that scripture verse, because I needed to hear that. And this beautiful prayer today as well.
Well, it's such a gift. And like you said, I think just docility and surrender,
we
can see all that God can do through us.
Yep.
And I'm getting to the point where I mean, intuitively, we label things good or bad, but I don't really know if I can actually put a label on those kinds of things anymore, because so often I'm seeing when I anchor things in Jesus Christ and in front of the Eucharist, the worst things turn out to be the best things.
Bingo. And sometimes that's the case. I mean, sometimes things go wrong for us to get to a different place. So, amen. We just, whatever's happening in our lives right now, we just need to say, Jesus, I trust in you, and just take a deep breath and just enjoy the ride, you know, and to stay committed to the Lord. That's the key. You know, that's the key.
Amen. Speaking of commitment to the Lord, I think we got some good stuff lined up today. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, we know we have a lot of great stuff today on the agenda. So Father Siloway is going to be talking with us today. He's from All Saints Parish in Dunwoody. He's going to be talking about the highlights of the National Eucharistic Congress. He had, again, we've heard the last couple conversations with him. He had the most amazing time. So cannot wait to hear more about the highlights of that actual Congress. Also, we are going to be reflecting on the gospel with Father Scott Riley from St. Brendan's in Cumming. He is always very inspiring with his words. Chuck is going to be with us again talking about St. Ledwina. And that was our opening prayer. That was a prayer calling on her intercession as well. So
you're going to want to stay tuned for that, because this is somebody who was essentially bedridden and paralyzed the majority of their life, and they changed the world.
Amen.
So you're going to want to tune into that.
Amen. Also, we are going to be talking with Bob Spidell. He has a military ministry at Holy Cross in Atlanta. So cannot wait to hear more from him about that wonderful ministry. And it is sunny with a high of 80 today. It is 53 right now. Coming up, we are going to be with Father Siloway, and it is now 8:06.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Father Siloway from All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody back in studio with us talking about some more of the amazing blessings that he experienced at the Eucharistic Congress. Welcome, Father.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Really appreciate it, y'all.
Oh, we're thrilled to have you. You are a beam of sunshine.
Well, praise God for that.
And by sunshine, I mean S-O-N.
Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Okay, Father. So would love to know, could you share some of the points from the talks that you had heard at the Eucharistic Congress? I know there were amazing speakers that you had heard.
Yeah, so that National Eucharistic Congress was a pivotal moment for me personally, and I believe for the church in America. And we're going to be continuing to just reap the fruits. And I think the Lord is doing something great and new and beautiful. So like I mentioned on the first day that we were talking about this, that all of the major Catholic speakers, like, they were all there. Mm-hmm. You name it, they were there. And there were impact sessions where they would be speaking to maybe 5,000 people at a time. There was a special priest breakout group where we got to have like Scott Hahn spoke to us, and we had Bishop Cousins spoke to us. But then there were the huge sessions in the evening where everybody came together. And that's where you had Jonathan Rumi, you had Bishop Barron, mm-hmm. Father Mike Schmitz, mm-hmm. everybody's favorite. Which I'm blessed to share initials with him, by the way, FMS. I've got that in my back pocket. But there were so many beautiful nuggets. All the speakers had at least one home run in their talk that just kind of like takes your breath away and makes you pause. Like I'm thinking, first of all, with Father Mike Schmitz, he had this incredible line that he was preaching or talking about the road to Emmaus, and his whole shtick was, it's like, you all know this. You know the story. You know these things. But just like how the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they thought they knew, but then something in their encounter with the Eucharistic Lord changed them, and it caused them to have to turn around and go a new direction. So where his home run that I think he's like, friends, there is no true revival without repentance. Mm-hmm. There's no revival without repentance. If we're looking for the Lord to be able to use us in a new way, to be able to bring about like the new evangelization that's been talked about for so long, even just to bring revival to the church in the States, each one of us has to have that turning point with the Lord. And even if we've turned with the Lord many times before, amen, we have to recognize that he used this image of you are this candle, and you're meant to burn brightly, but it's like so many things in our lives, like a cup that you put up upside down on top of
the bushel
cup.
Basket.
And that starves the light. It starves the fire. And he said, as you seek to turn away from whatever is dimming the light within you or taking away, really discern what are those fire extinguishers? Mm-hmm. What is squelching the fire of God within you? That kind of hit me square between the eyes. It's like, where's my passion for the Lord? Mm-hmm. Why is it not as bright and burning as maybe it was years ago or around the time mm-hmm. I was ordained or when I started to discern the priesthood in the first place? And that generated all kinds of beautiful conversation of people saying, like, people were talking, asking each other, even on the way out of the stadium, this lady came up to me, total stranger, and was like, Father, what's your fire extinguisher?
Oh,
wow. I was like, well, we're going to get deep real quick. Okay, I don't even know you. But then the freedom to share.
That's beautiful.
The freedom to share. Yeah, Bishop Barron. He was the last major speaker before the final adoration. And he was moved. He was emotionally moved standing there on the stage and saying, like, imagine what could happen in Catholicism in the United States, in our culture in general, in Western civilization, if all of us take the graces we're receiving here and we share it with somebody, and that light goes from us to them. The encounter with the Lord leads them to their own encounter with the Lord. We walk with them. We accompany them in this. It's like it would be a game changer, an absolute game changer for the church in the United States. So it was really cool to see him opening up his heart, mm-hmm. and seeing, everybody knows Bishop Barron is sold out for the Lord. He loves the Lord. Yeah. He's got a great brain and a great heart. He's a bishop, a tremendous shepherd. But beginning to like open up vulnerably, mm-hmm. which I think is what people need to see in their shepherds.
Yes.
And on that note about the vulnerability of bishops too, just Bishop Cousins, who I think we mentioned last time, was kind of like the quarterback for the whole Congress, yeah. and the whole mm-hmm. revival. And he was entrusted with Make It Happen. He shared with the priests, this wasn't something he shared to the audience at large, but I don't think he minds me sharing parts of his story because he shared it so beautifully publicly, but just sharing with incredible vulnerability. And what do I mean by that? First of all, a lot of times when bishops talk, I feel like it's that they realize the gravity of their position, that they stand as successors of the apostles. They're entrusted with making sure that the faith is handed on mm-hmm. In its fullness and its rigor and vigor. And a lot of times there can be just kind of this... you see the bishop as this like authority figure. But what I started to see in a lot of the bishops who were talking, particularly in Bishop Cousins, was a father. Mm. Like the bishop as a father. And he's not even my bishop.
Wow.
I love our bishops. But Bishop Cousins isn't blessed to be a bishop in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. He's up in Crookston, Minnesota. But he opened up his heart and led with vulnerability. And the context of his whole talk was how the Eucharist and the Paschal mystery all come together in the life of the priest. Paschal mystery referring to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the saving ministry Jesus came to do. So he was sharing about how when he was named an auxiliary bishop of St. Paul, they were going through hell. The abuse scandal was just kept exploding. He shared that there was even a chancery employee who stole all of the documents they had on allegations that were made and leaked it all to the press.
Wow. Mm.
And he's like, every day, he's like, it was a good day when our terrible history was on, he said, below the fold. Mm. It's like most days it was the very first thing on the paper. We considered it a good day when we were below the fold. You couldn't escape from it. They had a few of their bishops step down and he was kind of the only man left standing. And so he received the brunt of the world's hatred, of the frustration, of the brokenness, mm-hmm. of the reality of the evil that priests had done. He became the face of it all. Mm-hmm. And the diocese was bankrupt. He's having to deal with all of this until a new archbishop was appointed. He just spoke so beautifully. He's like, brothers, I would sit in my chapel and tell Jesus, I hate my life as a bishop.
Mm. Wow.
I remember when he first said that, you could hear the reality of it, the gravity of it in his voice. And him having to wrestle with that and how painful that time was. He's like, but what the Lord began to show me was that it's through your death that I will bear fruit.
Amen.
It's like the seed that falls to the ground and dies, that's the one that grows up and bears fruit 100-fold. Him sharing that vulnerability, like talking with the other priests that were around me, they're like, that was so incredibly beautiful on the one hand, but also refreshing. Our bishops are being in tune with their own hearts.
Yes.
And the reality of like, yeah, if you're going to follow Jesus and really follow Jesus, it's the cross. The cross leads to life. We know that. The cross always leads to life. But we can't escape the death and resurrection of Jesus in our own lives. And to hear Bishop speaking so freely and vulnerably about that in itself was healing. You're just like, this is beautiful to see in our shepherds, that they're leading from their heart. Mm. So that was just a tremendous grace.
And I'd love to hear that too, because I mean, even us, you know, different, our parishioners, our lives, we're called to die to ourselves as well. And then the fruit that comes about, you know, with that death.
Yeah, it was a very real application of what it means, like to take up your cross and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And it applies to bishops just as much as it does to any other disciple of mm-hmm. Jesus. Yeah, that was probably what was most refreshing about it. It was the first time I ever heard a bishop speak like that.
Oh, Father, that is so beautiful.
What a gift. I think the danger is never getting angry at God or honest with God. It's stopping the conversation.
Yes.
And the one thing that's going to stop any conversation is a lack of authenticity. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he is setting the precedent for an authentic encounter with his fellow priests as well as God, what a seed that he's dropping to the ground to bear fruit in y'all's lives as
exactly.
well.
I think that's why, in God's providence, why he was picked to do what he did, not only with that one talk, but also with the Congress and the revival in general.
Wow. What a gift.
Thank you so much, Father Siloway from All Saints Catholic Church in Dunwoody, for being with us today, and we look forward to having you back.
We get set to dive into the Word with Father Scott Riley of the Legionaries of Christ. This heroic priest is working at St. Brendan the Navigator in Cumming, Georgia, and he is blessing us this morning by unpacking today's gospel. Thank you, Father, for being here with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be here. Let's just begin with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come down upon us, enlighten our hearts and our minds to know what is right, and always rejoice in your consolation. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this gospel, I'm going to first start off, though, before the gospel, is a letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, and just really the first sentence here. It says, "Brothers and sisters, you have heard of my former way of life in Judaism and how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it and progressed in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my race," etc. Now, and then the gospel, Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do all the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." So, beginning with St. Paul, what really came to me in this reading is that we can all change for the better. Mm-hmm. We all have the capacity to change. God takes us where we are. He took St. Paul, or at that time Saul, where he was. He persecuted. He whipped people. He threw them into prison. He was feared. So imagine there is, you know, Ananias, who received a vision from Jesus. Jesus told him, "Look, there's this man, Saul, is going to come." And he was like, "Are you kidding me, Saul?" I mean, that's how fear. He's receiving a vision from God, and he's afraid. That was Saul. Mm-hmm. He changed. So we all have the capacity for change. God loves it when we change. St. Irenaeus said, "God, his glory is when man and woman are fully alive." And what does that mean? We're fully alive when we put on the virtues of Christ, when we live that dimension of life and virtue. So in this book that I read a while ago, is called, or actually I'm reading it, this one, it's called "The Word is Very Near You" by Father Wilfred Stinnenson. He's a Carmelite priest. Excellent writer. He wrote, "In the Bible, God and man are not competitors. God does not become less because man becomes greater. It is, on the contrary, man's greatness that reveals the greatness of God's love." So all that we do, all we have that is good, comes from God. And in this, the gospel here, Martha is gifted with many talents. Mm-hmm. She was probably a whiz of a cook and could throw things together, and she wanted a little help.
Well, it doesn't say what her name was in the scripture, but I'm pretty sure her last name was Stewart. What do you think?
Yeah. And so anyway, but, you know, she's very talented. But in this gospel, I think here is like Jesus is saying, yes, but your talents need to be fed. You're trying to feed us, but you need to be fed first. And that feeding comes from listening to the Word. The Word is like honey to, you know, from the comb to our palate, you know. So that Word of God, and that's where Jesus as well doubles down and just says, look, you know, Mary's chosen the better part, and that food, that nourishment that comes from listening to the Word will not be taken from her. Come no matter what, rain, sleet, sun, drought, the word will sustain us. Mm-hmm. And beautiful, like that tree that's planted near a stream in the middle that will continue to bloom and bear fruit. So there's this principle, you could say the principle, and it's by Father Cossad. He wrote, the great principle of the interior life is peace of soul. Mm-hmm. So Martha was not at peace. She was like pulling her hair out. And Jesus settled her down with his word. Mm-hmm. And as well, in our lives, we're not always at peace. We're busy. That's one of the great temptations that the devil gives us, is to be very busy. Like I said last week, got to be in control. And got to get all my I's dotted and T's crossed. But then we're hyperventilating with so much. And the Lord, actually, if we slow down and make space for him, all these things fall into place.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's, I think, habits, good habits help us. They protect us. There's a saying that we learned when I first joined religious life, and legionaries and novitiate: you keep order, and order keeps you.
Wow.
You know, so it does. And so especially order in the mind. We got to be careful. And this could be another whole talk, is like, what do we think about?
Yeah. And what are we meditating on? I mean, like, not just in terms of what we're thinking, but what kind of media sources are we ingesting?
Right.
Is it soul food or junk food?
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people, it's, you know, even with very holy, healthy Catholics, it's often a combo of both. I mean, nobody's on doing the, I don't know, media Whole 30 diet, all, or Whole 40, Whole 30, what is it? Is that what it is?
Whole 30.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, that's just such direct, it's like the HOV lane to the soul, right? When we consume that kind of stuff.
Father, what is a good takeaway from the gospel that we can take into our lives today and start doing now?
Right. Well, I think, first of all, number one, make the decision to open up your heart to Christ, mm-hmm. to actually make time. Now, how much time will that be? You know, you never run a marathon if you've never run a mile, you know, so you got to take some baby steps, but quiet, and then you find out which prayer works for you better. But all prayer is good, as the Catechism teaches us as well. It's all prayer is good. I think something that can help accelerate more of a heart-to-heart prayer with God, with the Lord, versus vocal prayer, which is a lot of recitation, you could say, of novenas and whatnot. Well, those are all good. But our hearts need as well heart-to-heart and the personal relationship with Jesus. So I think one of the things that helps a lot is when you look into your heart and what is the emotion that is really pounding on you,
mm-hmm.
pick it out and talk to the Lord about that and why you feel that way. Then give him space to speak back, to talk to you, and he will. And then there are, it's beautiful in the Catholic faith, there are so many other devotions. I pray the rosary every day. I do an hour of meditation every day. There are a lot of other things I do, which is so important, and it feeds my heart, my mind, my soul. So as Catholics, Christians, we need to make time for prayer, and prayer is never wasted time.
Amen.
Mm, yeah, I love that. It doesn't return void, as the good book says. Well, thank you so much, Father, for blessing us again, and we are looking forward to the next one.
God bless you. You take care.
I'm Dave Savage, and if you heard the news yesterday, as of 5 p.m., Georgia's Supreme Court has reinstated the Living Infants Fairness and Equality Act, that's LIFE, life, per the request of the state's attorney general. The Associated Press reports that the ruling came just 1 week after Fulton County Superior Court Judge Robert McBurney ruled the act was, quote, unconstitutional. McBurney's ruling allowed abortions to take place until approximately 22 weeks. And from the National Weather Service, Hurricane Milton is expected to grow in size and remain extremely dangerous when it approaches the west coast of Florida on Wednesday. Moderate to major river flooding, life-threatening storm surge, heavy rainfall, and hurricane-force winds are expected. Hurricane, tropical storm, and storm surge warnings have been issued for portions of Florida's west coast. The news of Milton's impending arrival comes as much of the southeast, including Florida, is still dealing with the devastating aftermath of Hurricane Helene, which tore through the region a few weeks ago and resulted in 230 deaths so far.
Wow.
So we definitely need to keep praying for those people.
And check out Catholic Charities on how you can serve and help with your time, talent, or treasure. Can I say it? Saint Scholar Chuckles Persner.
Thank you. That's not easy to say.
No, it's not. I've been practicing just now, and it didn't pay off.
Practice some more.
Thank you. My favorite laugh in America, Allison, always brightens up our day. How are you, Allison?
I'm doing marvelous.
It's about to get a lot better because we're going to be inspired by the man who tells us stories about individuals who are truly inspiring. And who you got for us today, Chuck?
Oh, I've got a good one for you today. I have to say, don't you love the fall?
Yes.
It's a great time of year,
isn't it? Crisp. The leaves are changing and falling. It's beautiful.
I thought you were talking about in the Garden of Eden. I was very confused.
All of that, no.
Aren't you happy?
Let's try that again. Don't you love autumn?
That's
there
better.
There we go.
Winter.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful time of the year. I think October is probably my favorite month of the year. I just love it. And in fact, I'd like to ask a favor of you both for the duration of this segment. If we could refer to the month of October as Chucktober. For the rest of the segment, would that be okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll come
after. I don't ask for much.
There you go. I don't like to brag, but I'm really humble. I think that's your motto as well.
Yes. So, as we work our way into the second week of Chucktober, we have the patroness of the autumn season.
I don't know if that's going to catch on, but I like it. Keep going.
I got the copyright on it just in case. You never know with these things. I'll put it along with my other 138 copyrights.
Let's do it.
Similar silly things.
We're with the Chuck Stop in Chucktober. All right, so who is it today?
We've got St. Lidwina,
who's largely
recognized as the patroness of the fall. There are some who recognize St. Margaret Mary Ellen Koch as well, another great saint who is probably best known for her promulgation of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But today, St. Lidwina is generally considered by many to be the patroness of the autumn season. And she was a Dutch mystic born in the year 1380, known as a young child as a prolific ice skater.
Wow. Interestingly enough.
And Josh, I know you had that, prior to making that jump to Catholic Radio, you had quite a nice little run with the ice capades.
Yeah, that was exactly. I was an Olympic ice skater and did ballroom dancing every now and then as well. And
there you go.
Oh, my.
Man, you didn't know this about your co-host, did you?
I did not.
Yeah. Arthur Murray? Arthur Murray School of Dance?
Yeah, that's...
I need to rein these boys in. Come on back. I
wasn't sure if that ice capades joke was going to land. Is Josh old enough to remember the ice capades?
I don't even know what ice... Yeah, I'm not even...
I remember them.
Yeah.
What was that, like an ice show?
Yeah.
Okay.
More or less. But let's carry on.
Okay.
So anyway, Lidwina suffered a very serious injury while ice skating around the age of 15. And, you know, it seemed that it set off a chain of events wherein her health just continued to just degenerate and become worse and worse. And, you know, it started to become pretty clear that she was called to be a victim soul.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, she took on habits such as prayer and fasting and quickly gained a reputation of being a healer and a very holy woman. And, you know, I know, Josh, you have some information on some of the other things she went through, which are really unbelievable.
I mean, when I read this person, honestly, you know, it's fun to follow Jesus when you think you're getting the mountaintop experiences. Mm-hmm. And then you look at some people and you go, man, don't sign me up for that. But this person, I mean, I think that they said she had one of the first potentially documented cases of MS, multiple sclerosis, and they became increasingly paralyzed through their life. As a result, in this state, I mean, a lot of things happened. They started the progressive illness following her injury. Her condition worsened, leading to full paralysis and other physical ailments. Despite her suffering, though, she devoted herself to prayer and offered her pain in union with Christ's passion. So, you know, we talk about we can get bitter or better. And I mean, wow, that's, you know, you can only fathom something like that in the grace that you would need to experience it and go through it when it happens. You know, I think about recently my father passing and, oh, you think that this would just be crippling. But, you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And God's grace is there, and it just lifts you to heights that you never thought were fathomable. And so throughout her life, she's having these experiences of mystical visions, including seeing the passion of Christ. And I heard that this was such a vivid encounter that it was actually like she was there. She had experiences of the suffering souls in purgatory and received frequent visits from her guardian angel. So even to the point she was known to have gifts of prophecy and discernment. So this is there's some pretty mystical stuff going on behind the veil with this individual.
You know, and as she was suffering, it shows here, after 8 years of suffering, she said, "It is not I who suffer, it is my Lord Jesus who suffers in me." So when I hear that, I mean, she pretty much was an offering to him, you know, and it was the complete sacrifice.
At the age of 15, you know, you keep getting worse and worse. You're wondering what's going on. And have what's we now recognize as multiple sclerosis at that age, there were no medical advances. Even the doctors must have been so puzzled as to what was going on.
And then you think about this, though. I mean, not to say the Lord can obviously pull radical holiness out of us to, regardless of what our circumstances are. However, this burden was actually a springboard for her to be this heroic, holy soul for the Lord, that her testimony is still enduring nearly 1,000 years later. I mean, 800 years, however long it is, not, but or 700 years, I guess. But still, I mean, would she have reached the heights of holiness had she not been plagued with this affliction? Now, of course, I'm crossing my fingers and saying, no, please not me, Lord. But at the same time, if we look back reflectively, especially on her life, how many more souls has she touched and will she touch as a result of this trial? And it just shows what we think is the worst thing, God can elevate to the best thing.
It's a Romans 8:28 moment. I know that's a scripture passage you all call upon from time to time. And, you know, all things happen for the glory of God for those who trust in him. And I guess she probably wanted to be an ice skater, right? And instead, she went on to become a saint.
Amen.
So that's an upgrade.
It's an upgrade.
But and despite her own condition, this is interesting, she provided spiritual counsel and comfort to people who visited her. So she's known for her patience, compassion, her deep faith. I mean, you know, here's this person that a lot of times you would think, oh, it would just be marginalized in society, especially at this time. And yet she is this sage, this spiritual sage. People are seeking consolation and spiritual insight from. And I actually heard there was healing ascribed to her as well. Is that right, Chuck?
That is. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, you think about the crosses that you've endured in your own life. Sometimes you go through something, you think, well, that was just meant to be a cross, and we all have them, and you got to deal with them. But as the years unfold, maybe you come across someone in your life who's going through something very similar, and you can counsel them. And now you say, that's why that happened. So I could be there for that person.
Well, once again, Chuck, you left us better than how you found us. Keep us holy.
St. Ledwina,
pray for us.
And happy Chucktober, everyone.
Dave Savage, and I found this interesting from the Catholic Exchange. This was last week. 20 things guardian angels do for us. I'll just run through. I'm not going to go through all 20 of them.
I hope one of them is taxes, because it takes so long for me.
They do, actually. They remind us of our ultimate goal.
That's great.
Absolutely. They influence our wills, and that could be like through our senses, our intellect, but they can't directly make us do anything, but they can kind of guide us in that direction. Mm-hmm. Bring our needs to God, bring us closer to God. They guard all of us, including the non-believers. So even the non-believers have a guardian angel.
Absolutely. Every person that is born.
Mm-hmm. They strengthen us against temptation. They intervene miraculously to save us from trouble. Mm-hmm. And I think we've all, same thing, I mean, this is kind of the same thing, protect us from harm, ward off demons. And it's kind of, you know, like the, you always see like the good angel on the one side and the bad angel on the other one. And they're, you know, and that's kind of,
it's spiritual battle.
What they're doing, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But protecting us from harm, I had a I know my guardian angel was watching out for me. This is when I lived in Michigan. We were snowmobiling, mm-hmm. and it was really cold, and the lake had frozen over. But then we got like this warm spell, uh-huh. and it was up in the 50s, so the ice started to melt, but then it got cold again. So I'm thinking, that ice is solid. So we're out there at night.
Oh, wow.
I'm an idiot. I know. I would never do that again. But we're riding the snowmobile. All of a sudden, I hear the ice cracking. And my snowmobile went down.
No.
And I thought at that moment, I'm dead. I will not live like another minute. And it happened to be like near the mouth of a river. So it was only about 4 feet of water.
Praise God.
So I stood up. I'm like, oh!
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, Dave.
It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And if you go down in that kind of that just
well yeah, because I'm wearing all down. The heavy I'm wearing the boots, the helmet, all the heavy clothing and everything, I would have been at the bottom.
Oh my goodness. Oh,
yeah.
My yeah,
goodness.
If it was a lake. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have one that happened to me. I was driving to a gig I was playing, it was actually when I was playing drums for a band. And I'm driving there, and the highway, the wheel locks up, and I hear this explosion underneath my hood. I'm on the highway, and literally flames just start shooting out from underneath the hood.
Josh.
And my wheel locks up. I'm not even driving the car. I'm just aiming it at this point,
oh my
right?
Gosh.
I mean, this is bad news. Somehow it just veers to a stop on the side of the highway. The car is flaming, and these people run out and start banging on my windshield, screaming, "Get out of the car! Get out of the car!"
Oh,
and the first
gosh.
Thing I think is, not falling for that trick. These are clearly muggers. Not falling for the good old. They,
did you see? You saw the flames coming out of the car?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but I just don't. It was. I was like, kind of what a discombobulated.
You're wondering if this is even real. Like,
yeah. yeah. And finally, they just scream, "Your car is on fire!" And so I get out, and they're tapping on the windshield. The crazy thing is, I look, and it's worse than I think. All the instruments are in the car. All these valuables are in the car. And the underneath the chassis, it's leaking like. It looked like oil. So
oh
I'm like, this
gosh.
Thing is a time bomb.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, y'all, for real, I'm thinking it's everything. It's just everything's going up in flames. I'm about to go broke trying to replace all these instruments, especially for this other musician in the car. A guy sprints out of the woods with a fire extinguisher in
oh my
his
gosh.
Hand
oh
and
my
starts
gosh.
Screaming, "Pop the trunk. Or pop the hood, pop the hood, pop the hood." I'm terrified. I'm like, I'm not getting in that car because it's going to blow up. He says, "Get in the car and pop the hood." I was like, "Yes, sir." And it's just like this moment of radical trust. I get in the car.
Oh
I pop
gosh.
The hood. He just extinguishes it right there, the fire.
Oh
and he's
gosh.
Like, "Yeah, you're welcome." I was like, "What is going on today?"
Your guardian angel.
Thank you, guardian angel.
Oh my
exactly.
Gosh.
You just never know, man. Sometimes God's showing off.
Bob Spidell, he has a ministry at Holy Cross called the Troop Support Ministry, and I am so happy to have him here with us today. So, Bob, welcome to The Quest.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
I am excited you are here. We spoke in the past, and it was so neat learning about your ministry at Holy Cross. And I just wanted to share this with others because I know there are going to be people out there that might have a family member that is a serviceman or woman. And I know there might be some parishes out there that would love to take on this ministry. So I am happy to have you here to learn more. So, Bob, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Lord led you to create this troop support ministry at Holy Cross?
Well, Allison, I'm a retired Army officer. I spent 30 years in the Army, most of which was in Germany, and I deployed to Desert Storm and to Iraqi Freedom just prior to my retirement in 2004. I'm a member of Holy Cross Church. I was on a pilgrimage with the church to Italy in 2008, and one of the members of our church fell. I gave some assistance, but she thought it was more assistance than I thought it was. And so we kind of watched after her over the course of the pilgrimage. And then when we returned to the States, I was with some veteran friends at Matthew's Cafeteria in Tucker, Georgia, and we were packing boxes, and there happened to be a journalist from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who saw us and wrote a story about us sending packages to veterans.
Wow.
And Eleanor saw this interview and decided that it might be a good idea for Holy Cross to send some packages to troops. So Eleanor and I talked. We briefed the parish council on a plan to do that. And the parish council came back and said, well, why don't we just create a ministry? And so we did. And in October of 2008, we started the ministry. We collected at the beginning of the month, and we sent care packages to troops. Mm-mm. And we've been doing it since October 2008. And to date, we have sent over 4,500 care packages to troops deployed everywhere from Djibouti to Iraq and Afghanistan and now Eastern Europe, the Ukraine crisis.
Wow, what a treat. I bet those servicemen and women are just grateful to know that they are loved and they are getting these packages.
Yeah, we get great thank you notes from the troops and from the Red Cross and USOs, who we also send boxes to. One of the troops at one time sent us a note. He says, thank you so much. God bless you. But please don't send me another box. Send one to my buddy instead, because he never gets mail from home. And we responded and said, no, we're sending you a box, but we will add your buddy to our list.
Oh, I love that. So why is it so important? Why is it so important to have that ministry at your parish?
It has really become a very popular ministry. We get donations every month that really surprise us and continue to grow despite the fact that we have pulled out of Afghanistan and for the most part out of Iraq. We have troops deployed to Eastern Europe that are thankfully still in a peaceful situation, but the parish members want to continue supporting. So we are not only sending care packages, but every month we send a donation to one of the charities that support veterans and military members. And I carefully go over that list of charities. So we send a check every month to them, and then in December we'll send a check to the Air Force and the Army and the Marine Corps, Navy Marine Corps aid societies for their needs to help out, especially spouses and family members who have people deployed.
Wow, that is so wonderful, because I'm sure the families of those that have loved ones overseas, I'm sure it's challenging when you're back at home raising families, you know, without your spouse.
It's very challenging, and frequently they have an issue with rent. It may be only for a month or so, but those organizations help take care of them, at least in the temporary mode, until they can get a permanent solution to whatever problem they may have.
Wow. So, Bob, what type of support do you all give to the servicemen and women, like in your little boxes, or what type of outreach?
What we do with the boxes is a combination of personal hygiene items, as well as snacks and things that might be difficult for them to be able to get, especially those in more remote sites. Mm-hmm. Candy, chips, Slim Jims are some of the snack items. And then we send toothpaste, shampoo, soap, toothbrushes as part of the personal hygiene parts in the package. And then we send a letter from the pastor, or signed by me for the pastor, asking them to give us feedback if there's special needs that they may need, or that any recommendations on changes.
Because again, you want to take care of them. I mean, they're taking care of us. We want to give them this, all the support that they need and all those treats, because that's not something that they normally probably have readily available.
Yeah, in some places it's extremely remote, like Djibouti. And so they are very happy just about with anything we send. Oh. We'll also send like little raviolis and microwave popcorn and stuff if they happen to have a microwave. But some of them don't even have that. So the chips, Oreos, those are the things that they really like. And we send a prayer square. Mm. We have a square that we put a crucifix inside. The ladies in the parish sew two pieces of cloth, usually in a red, white, and blue configuration.
Yeah.
And there's a note attached to it and says, when you touch this crucifix, you know the people of Holy Cross are praying for you.
Oh, I love that. So you're feeding them, you're giving them, you know, different treats to snack on, but also you're bringing Christ to them as well.
Yeah, we send rosaries. Nice. We send other items. I've even had Protestant chaplains get back with me and ask for more of the crucifix squares. We're working on them too.
That is beautiful work, spreading the love. I mean, again, this might be the first time maybe those Protestant pastors have ever dealt with these different items or seen a crucifix or realized how important, and then they see their troops opening them and the joy that comes out of them, I'm sure, is beautiful. Okay, if we have a family member who's overseas in the military, could they get added to your list?
Absolutely. They can send it to me at spidelr@AOL.com. We'd be more than happy to add them to our list.
If there's another parish out there that is listening and wants to bring this to their parish, what would they do?
First of all, there's no problem with them contacting me at that same email address or through Holy Cross itself, or Eleanor, who's really the brains behind this operation. And we'll be glad to talk to them about how we started and the steps we took and the changes we've made over the years, because the missions have changed. Mm-hmm. We don't have nearly as many troops deployed to remote sites and dangerous sites as we had before, but we still have some. And our focus is a little bit more now on Red Crosses and USOs, because they have the ability to distribute the items that we send them. And so we'd be more than happy to assist anybody who has questions or would like to start a ministry like our troop support ministry.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with you regarding volunteer opportunities, they could also go to the Holy Cross website to find your ministry information there as well, correct?
Yes, they can.
And then your email, spell that last name for me.
Yes, SPIDELR. @AOL.com.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about your wonderful ministry at Holy Cross.
Thank you very much. A pleasure being here today.
There are a lot of great, great shows coming up after ours. Of course, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo is going to be on next. And the founder and president of Redbird Ministries shares their goal of providing compassionate support infused with the Catholic faith for those who have experienced child loss. And we actually have some local folks from Redbird. We have actually done some interviews with them. So that's going to be a great, great topic. More to Life at 10 a.m. Relationship Rehab. Are you hoping to rebuild a broken relationship? Greg and Lisa will help start with a strong foundation, so that'll be great. Of course, we're having lunch with Father John Ricardo, and can't wait for that at noon. And St. Brendan's Church, they've got a pumpkin patch, so if you guys are on the lookout for pumpkins, go to Cumming. It's a great, great way to buy pumpkins and support the church.
Yeah, I go to the Asian Scout Festivals, you know.
Great day.
St. Lidwina.
Pray for us.